I would like to share with you the story of my husband, my late husband, Brendan Glennon, and how the health system actually failed him. It's very significant because this refers to 2013, so it's just before the commencement of these, hopefully, these great changes that are going to happen. I wrote a report about Brendan, and I'll just start with the first paragraph of that report because it describes this lovely man that you see on the slide there. On the morning of Friday the 17th of May 2013, Brendan made his customary trip to the local shops to buy his paper and a list of groceries for the house. Although he was having some memory problems, he was well able to cope with life. His vagueness was more regarding dates, etc., and some short-term memory slips. Physically at this time, Brendan was perfectly mobile, if a little slow on his feet, but he was well able to take care of himself. He'd have a shower every morning, did light chores around the house, such as setting the table and taking care of the dishwasher, sweeping the floors, that kind of thing. He also liked to walk in each day in our garden, which is quite large. He was interested in current affairs, watching the news and reading his paper every day. And then he suffered a cardiac arrest. And so he was admitted to a hospital with this, and he was resuscitated. Took about 40 minutes to resuscitate him. He spent a little time in the cardiac unit, and then he was transferred into a medical ward. Now, this was an absolutely normal progression for somebody who has cardiac arrest. I was pretty traumatized because when the arrest actually happened and they resuscitated him, I sat with him for through that night, and I thought we would lose him. But around 5 o'clock in the morning, his breathing changed, and I knew that he was going to live, and I felt relieved. However, when I was, I have a note here from my diary, actually, on the 20th of May, which is just 3 days after he took the cardiac arrest, I had a meeting with his consultant. And my diary says, meeting with the consultant who explained that the arrest may have caused damage to the heart and may have advanced the dementia. He said, a second resuscitation is not on the cards. This was totally shocking to me because this is the man who'd gone and done my shopping on Friday. And here he is on Monday and he's going to need 24-hour care. So Brendan moved back onto the ward anyway, and when he was back on the ward, he was able to get out of bed to go to the bathroom, but he was still quite shaky. The man had had a heart attack, you know, and he needed someone to go with him. They also started physiotherapy with him, and he seemed to be getting a bit stronger. But the dementia was the problem. Once he had that diagnosis, everything changed. I wanted to support him at home more than anything else. All I wanted was about a week's of convalescence, which I felt he needed, and I was advised that all of this was just not, I just needed him, maybe somebody to help him with the shower, that kind of thing. And I was informed that this was not actually available. And what's more shocking, I discovered later that there wasn't even any attempt to apply for this for Brendan, which really shocked me even more. I was advised then that the Fair Deal was the only option, and from that moment I was pursued by the unfortunate nurse who had the responsibility for getting me to sign up for this to such an extent, because obviously she was under pressure to get Brendan. He was now a bed blocker, you know, so obviously she had to move him out as quickly as she could. And this, I actually got to the stage where I was timing my visits so I would avoid this girl, which is not really the best. Okay, so this is just a comparison. I know the previous speaker gave some great statistics. This is my significant statistic. Brendan spent 10 weeks after his being medically fit for discharge in an acute hospital. That cost the HSE €25,000. And had he gone even for 2 weeks convalescence, and there were actually beds available in a step-down facility in our locality, I knew this myself, but that would have cost a total of about less than five. So, I mean, it just is obvious that the cost is there. So Brendan's health then started to deteriorate when he's waiting for the Fair Deal. He During the following week, he took a fall going to the bathroom, and even though he hadn't hurt himself, he was better off trying to improve his mobility. The man had diabetes and needed to walk to take exercise. They put guardrails up in his bed, and from that time on, his mobility visibly deteriorated. He developed bed sores and became incontinent. This seating thing was a big problem too, because they would take him out of the bed to sit on a chair so that he would have a variation from lying in the bed, but they couldn't get the kind of pressure cushion that was needed for somebody with bed sores. And I have to say, the bed sores only developed when he was in the hospital. The man was active at home. There was no question of bed sores. They used to put one of the pressure mattresses across one of the chairs in an attempt to give him some kind of comfort. And of course, he would just slide off that. Imagine what that did to bed sores. And then when he would slide off it, the only solution they could come up with was to restrain him and to actually strap him onto this chair, which really was dreadful. When the physiotherapist would come along, and if Brendan said, "Oh, I don't feel like it," the physiotherapist would just go on to the next patient. This was totally, totally wrong. The man needed to be encouraged to get out and walk in order that he wouldn't lose his mobility. But the dementia diagnosis is there, he's written off, sure, why would you bother? That was the feeling that I had. With all of this, he was becoming depressed. Now, they did actually get somebody from the psychiatry for later life to come and talk to him, and this person did say that, yes, he is a bit depressed, but didn't feel that it was appropriate to give him any medication for this. I wonder, would it have been better to give him some sort of a little antidepressant that might have made his life less miserable? He stopped eating. And I'm interested that the catering people are starting to talk to this issue. With Brendan, I arrived in one day for his... I arrived in just before his tray was taken away at lunchtime, and he had just opened the napkin and put it over the tray and hadn't touched the food. And apparently this had been happening for quite a while. His weight, before he took the cardiac arrest that morning, he weighed 71 kilos, because he used to weigh himself after his shower, and he told me what he weighed. By the time he actually left the hospital, he weighed 53 kilos. Now, in case you're not used to thinking in terms of kilos, Brendan was 5'11". I'm 5'2", and I weigh considerably more than 53 kilos. The issue of dehydration was a big one, and this was a hospital problem, really, because they had a system where there were about 10 or 12 rooms on this long corridor, and the staff would collect the water jugs, one ward at a time, all the way along, bring them off, wash them, and then bring them back and redeliver them along all the wards. This meant that the patients were left for 2 to 3 hours without any water. And this particular summer, when Brendan was in hospital, we were having very high temperatures, maybe 32 degrees on one of the days. So I'd like you to look at the outcome of the hospital stay. By the time the fair deal was approved for Brendan, which was about 10 weeks, he was totally immobile, he was doubly incontinent, he had given up eating, he was deeply depressed, and his distress had been ignored. None of these conditions had anything to do with cardiac arrest, which is the reason he was admitted to hospital. They were all due to the lack of an integrated dementia-aware care path through the care pathway. As has been mentioned, I have been involved with a number of different aspects of the implementation of the dementia strategy. And I keep hearing early diagnosis is the answer. I have to ask you to ask yourselves, who would want to admit a diagnosis of dementia if this is the kind of treatment you can expect? And this is Brendan as he was in the hospital. So if you compare that with the first one you saw, I think it says it all. So thank you for listening.